Nehemiah chapter number 6 this evening as we continue on in our Sunday night series of the book of Nehemiah, go along with our theme this year, Rise Up and Build. We come to an interesting chapter. The devil has done everything he could to get Nehemiah off that wall, and Nehemiah has said, I'm going to stay on that wall, and he's trying something a little different now. We saw a few weeks ago when he was trying to discourage the workers and talk about the rubbish and how people were getting tired, and Nehemiah encouraged them, remember the Lord, fight for your families. And then last week we saw about the division. We saw about how the some of the nobles and some of the richer people were taking advantage of those that were struggling, and whether they were people who owned land or they were selling their kids in servitude and things like that just to be able to provide food. And Nehemiah showed them and taught them what was wrong with that. Well, tonight, the devil's going to try to use the way that's very often used in the Christian's life. Then when you decide to do something for God, when you decide to serve Him, when you decide, hey, I'm going to rise up and build, or I'm going to do something for God, He'll try to distract you. He'll try to bring things in your life to just take your focus off of building and take your focus off of doing what you're supposed to do and just trying to make something else look a little bit more attractive, a little bit shiny, or something that they need to do. And tonight I want you to consider some of the things that Nehemiah considered, and there's an important thing I think we can understand through the passage of Scripture tonight. Titled this evening's message is Building with Right Priorities. Building with Right Priorities. One thing we've seen about Nehemiah in chapters 1 through 5, he was a man that was committed to godly priorities. He put God first. He put the work of God first. His heart was pure. His vision was clear. And he was determined he was going to finish that wall with the Israelites' help, but also with God's power. Now, one preacher put it this way, to know the will of God is our greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is our greatest challenge. To know the will of God is our greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is our greatest challenge. One of the responses that Nehemiah said, and you see it found in verse number 3, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? And the first thing I want you to establish is not one of the points, but something I want to put in your mind, something I want to put in your heart, is that no matter who you are, if God has given you something to do, it is a great work. If God has given you a specific thing and says, I want you to do this, it's a great work. It doesn't matter if you're part of a children's choir or an adult choir, maybe the ones that are leading it. It doesn't matter if you're teaching a class. It doesn't matter if you're a parent. It doesn't matter whatever the role that God has given you. Sometimes people like to minimize and say, well, I'm not that important. I don't serve in a certain way or a certain capacity. I don't get to speak in front of people. I don't have much influence. And they minimize the role that God has given them. You're making a mistake. Nehemiah says to these people, he says, I cannot come because I'm doing a great work. I can't. Why should the work stop? Because I need to come visit with you. So I want you to understand this before we get into the message. What you're doing is important. What you're doing is a very important and great work. Why? Because the people? No. Because of the opportunity? No. Because it's what God wants you to do. And the greatest thing you can do with your life is God's will. I want you to look at this, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9 tonight, or look at the story a little bit, and we've got 3 points for you. It says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies, once again, these people are trying to get Nehemiah to stop. They're trying to get him to come off the wall. They've tried to discourage him. They tried to do division. They have threatened their lives. They have mocked him. They have laughed at him. They've done all these things. And that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gate. So what's the verse saying here? The wall is pretty much done. No breaches left. All they had to do is set up the gates. And it takes time because you got to remember in these walls, there's these 10 great gates. When we looked at the different gates, these gates are here and they had to be large. They had to be made probably of metal for when people were trying to ram out. So this is a lot of work that still needs to be done. Verse number 2, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. So some people might read that verse and say, hey, this is kind of nice. These guys have been our enemies. Now we need to, they're inviting me out to spend some time together. Maybe they can work some things out. Maybe we can figure out what's going on. But Nehemiah was discerning enough to know, because he was God's man, he was done things through prayer, he understood what God wanted him to do, God had revealed unto him, but they thought to do me mischief. They were trying to get Nehemiah away from the wall, not only so that the work would stop, but also so they could do harm to Nehemiah. So Nehemiah's response was, I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? It's pretty much, look, what I'm doing is what God's called me to do. I should not stop just so I can meet with you. No reason for that. Yet they sent unto me four times. Once again, they didn't get the hint. Four different times. They're trying to get him to come down. They want to put him to death after the sort. And I answered them after the same manner. Verse number five, then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hands. What's an open letter? Well, an open letter is one that would be read out loud. An open letter is the purpose of it is to pass it around. What they are trying now to do is intimidate Nehemiah to create a smear campaign against Nehemiah and try to get him to come off that wall because he would not listen to them. Verse number six, wherein was written, let's see what they have, what they're saying about Nehemiah. It was reported among the heathen, saying there was a group of people that have been talking about this. And Gashmu say of it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. He's saying, look, the only reason why you're doing this is so that when the wall is finished, you're going to call yourself king. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Verse number eight, then I sent unto him, saying, there are not such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thy own heart. Nehemiah just responds, says, look, you're lying. You know that you're lying. These are things you've made up. Verse number nine, For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Nehemiah sees that it's causing the people to become nervous and weakened. And Nehemiah just cries out to God, strengthen my hands. Let's have a word of prayer. And let's get into the message here, building with right priorities. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, we are so blessed. Lord, thank you for the wonderful church that we have. Thank you for the wonderful church family we have, Lord. But more than anything, God, we are blessed because of you and because of what you've done in our lives. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for calling us, giving us a ministry. Lord, giving us the opportunity to be able to serve the King of Kings and have a personal relationship with him through his son. God, I pray you speak to our hearts tonight about making you our number one priority. Help us not to be distracted by the devil and by the things of this world. Instead, Lord, help us to remain focused as Nehemiah teaches us here that even though there's opportunities that might come along the way, doesn't mean that we should stop what we're doing. Help us, Lord, to continue to build this year and, Lord, and continue to build with the right priorities. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Nehemiah knew the will of God and he was determined to do the will of God. And here's the thing that's on our lives. We have a choice, doing the will of ourselves or doing the will of God. And maybe it'd be good for us to take a look at our schedules and maybe be good for us to kind of guess write out the things that we do in a week and how much time we spend doing other things, things for ourselves, things for work, things for God, and look at that and see what type of priority does God in my life. See, most priorities revolve around our sense of need and our sense of desires for our own lives. If we look at our schedules and times that we have built around our own priorities, many times they outweigh the priorities that God has given us. I believe that one of the greatest thing in your life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved, never asked Jesus Christ in your heart to save you, the greatest need you have is Jesus Christ and his salvation he offers. But after that, your relationship with Jesus Christ is something that you should make your number one priority. The wall's mostly done. Just the gates are left. And these needed to be done. The enemies have become frustrated. They have done everything they could, as we saw in the first five chapters, to try to get them to stop building this wall. First thing I want you to see is the plan of the enemy. The plan of the enemy. So the enemy, the devil, He's not giving up. I don't know if you ever noticed that. The devil will keep on coming back and keep on coming back and keep on coming back and keep on coming back. You saw in that verse I had mentioned, he came back four different times with the same request. Four different times he tried to get him to come out of the wall, off the wall, stop the work, try to get them to Ono. Now, Ono is probably a place about 20 miles away from Jerusalem. It's a very fertile place. It's kind of a getaway place. And what they're offering Nehemiah, they're saying, hey, look, you come away. We'll spend the weekend together. We'll talk together and we'll try to figure out what's going on. Pretty much what they were trying to do, they were trying to get him to compromise. They were trying to say, let's get together. Let's try to work these things out. And so we won't have the same problems. Nehemiah, we see in verse number 2 that it was something that he knew that there was something wrong. He knew it said at the end, but they thought to do me mischief. He knew that God had given him the discernment to stay away from these men. These men have been threatening the families. These men have been threatening the people that are building the wall. These are wicked and evil men. And just because somebody comes along the way and says, hey, we should sit down, talk, we should get together, we should work things out, doesn't mean it's a good opportunity. Doesn't mean just because something becomes available, doesn't mean it's from God. The devil will do whatever he can to try to get you to stop rising up and building. He'll do whatever you can to try to put him back into the first place of your life. He will do whatever he can to get you off that wall. We need to make sure that we look at things circumspectly. We need to look at things and go around all of it and say, okay, is this from the Lord? Once again, like we talked about this morning, we need to hear from God. We need God's presence. We need God's power in our lives. We need to make sure that we're serving and ministering to the Lord. We need to be seeking Him as we talked about this morning. Sometimes that includes fasting. We need to be submissive to Him. God gives us the power to fight against that satanic opposition. And we see the success that we saw in chapter 13 in Acts. But we see the success that Nehemiah is having. The wall's almost built. It's almost done. They've accomplished the work. Now the devil's trying to tempt him again. You got to get away from this. You got to stop. Yeah, but sometimes people will look at you and say, well, what's wrong with compromise? What's wrong with them meeting together and going over things? Nehemiah was smart enough to say no. Question is, sometimes we're not smart enough to say no to things in this world. Sometimes we got to look at things and say, is this coming from the Lord? The moment you determine to have a godly family, you know what? The devil's going to do whatever he can to stop you. The moment you decide to rise up and build, Satan will do whatever he can to distract you from getting ready to do God's work. I don't know how many times we've come and said, I'm gonna pray more. I'm gonna memorize the scriptures. I'm gonna read my Bible more. I'm gonna be a witness. I'm gonna be faithful to church. And as soon as we make that decision, you know what happens? The devil gets out there and says, how can I distract them? What can I do to get them off of this kick for God? What is it that I can do to get them away from serving the Lord? Go back to the first sin. What did Satan do? He went up to Adam. He went up to Eve and said, yea, hath God said. He'll go up to him and says, is that really what God meant? Did God really say you can't eat of all those trees? And when you make a decision, you maybe at a revival service and during a preaching time or while you're reading your Bible or whatever the reason is, you make a commitment to God, the devil will come up to you and say, did God really mean that you should give that? Did God really mean that you should be this faithful? Did God really mean that you should do all these things? He gets you to question. What's he trying to do? He's trying to distract you when God was speaking to you. You know, we heard the song tonight, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. It's, what is it God's been teaching you? If God's been teaching you something in the light, don't question it in the darkness. When the serpent came up to Eve and says, yea, have God said? Eve just says, yes, he did. And I'm going to believe God. God told me to do this. And because of that, what does the devil say? Ye shall not surely die. Distracting them from the issue that Satan is trying to get them away from, get them away from God. You think about when the devil went down to tempt Jesus, he took him above all those. He says, all these things will I give you if you bow down and worship me. He says, everything I'll give you if you just bow down and worship me. What's he trying to do? He's trying to distract. He's trying to get him away from the purpose. Jesus had come to die for the sins of mankind. He had come and became God that became man to die for the sins of mankind. And you know what? The devil's trying to get him away. The devil's trying to get him to make him first in his life. this is his first priority. The devil wants you to stop. The devil does not want you to grow. The devil does not want you to serve. The devil does not want you to learn. The devil does not want you to rise up and build. The devil does not want you doing anything for God. When you make these decisions and when you call out to God and when you ask God to help you, when you say, I'm going to serve God as a family, I'm going to be the right husband, the right father, the right wife, the right mother. When a child gets up and says, I'm going to start obeying and honoring my parents, you know what the devil does? He says, I got to do what I can to get him stop making God their priority and start making me their priority again. I got to get God off the throne of their lives. I need them worshiping me again. I need them worshiping the world. I need them buying into the world system. I need them. That's all they're trying to do with Nehemiah here. They're trying to get him to compromise. They're trying to get him away from the wall. They're trying to get him to work to stop. They're trying to say, oh, you don't have to really do this. We need to recognize this is a challenge on a daily basis. We need to recognize that things will come in our lives. Opportunities will come in our lives. Maybe, you know, somebody wants you to go and do something on a Sunday. Well, I haven't seen this person. This is really important. And is it an opportunity from God? If God has put something in your heart, like he did for Nehemiah, Nehemiah knew that God put in the heart. Remember chapter 1, he heard about the need. It burdened him. He prayed. He fasted. He made himself available. All those different things, God had put these things on his heart. Nehemiah knew exactly where he was supposed to be, doing exactly what he was supposed to do. And you know what? The devil couldn't get him off the wall. Another thing I want you to see here, not only did they try to tempt him to compromise, they tried to isolate him too. They wanted him to come down off the wall, get away from the other people that are working, and come alone. You know what? That's a bad thing. As Christians, we should want to be working together. We should be encouraging one another. The Bible talks about forsaking not the assembly of believers. There's a purpose for that. And so we can encourage one another, and we can encourage one another in the love of Jesus Christ. We don't want to get isolated. It's important that you serve and serve with one another. He also tried to conspire against him and intimidate him. You see what it says in verse number 5? Yet sent unto me 4 times. Once again, the devil's going to keep on coming after you after this sort. And I answer them after the same manner. And then Sanballat does something dirty. Once again, someone who's wicked, that's being led by the devil. They're not going to fight fair. Then when Sanballat, his servant, sent unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter. Because Nehemiah wasn't bending, Sanballat decides to try to shame him publicly. This is the height of indignity. They make up lies about the man. They try to stop him with gossip. And they try to stop him with making up falsehoods about him. They start saying bad things about him. In verse number 6, they begin talking about wherein was written, is reported among the heathen. And I want you to get this, reported among the heathen. What does that mean? People have been gossiping about him. People have been talking about him. People have been saying lies about him. And Gashmu would say, if thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. Now, this is dirty. This is wrong. And this is one of the reasons why we need to make sure that we don't mess around with gossip. And this is one of the reasons why we don't need to get in other people's business. Lots of times if somebody's coming to you saying, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? And they said, well, have you talked to so-and-so about that? You don't need to be worrying about gossip and messing. This is reported among the heathen. This is somebody trying to shame Nehemiah. What's the purpose of it? They're trying to distract it. Why are they trying to distract him? Nehemiah is doing a work for God. They're trying to stop him from getting that work for God. And when you go around and start gossiping about people, you know what you're going to do? You're going to distract that individual from serving God and doing what God has called him to do. It's very, very... very, very careful with your tongue. We need to be careful that we do what's right. Another thing I want you to see here in verse number 7, and thou hast appointed prophets to preach to thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Another thing you got to be careful with, what these men have done is, first of all, they're walking around making up lies about Nehemiah. We need to be careful. And next thing they're saying is, Nehemiah wants to be king. Nehemiah is not just serving God because he loves the Lord, because he has a passion for God, because he has a love for Jerusalem, God's place. He's not building the walls because he has this good heart. He's building the wall because he wants his own kingdom. He's building the walls because he wants people to pat him on the back. He wants people cheering him. He wants to be lifted up among the people. We got to be very careful here when it goes back to this gossip and talking about these things, that you start condemning people and questioning people's motives. Only God knows a person's motive. I know in my own life, I've had people tell me, and not many. Once again, I have a wonderful church family, but people who have visited and things like that before says, oh, and accuse me of being a dictator. Everything's got to be done my way, exactly. Everything's got to be this. All you're trying to do is you just want to be king and ruler and master. And for you that know my heart, that's not the case. You know that. Nehemiah's people knew this. Remember what happened in chapter number 5. Nehemiah had compassion for them. Nehemiah loved them. Nehemiah helped them when they were in need. Because of that, in chapter number 6, his people are still building the wall. They're not listening to this mess. They're not listening to this garbage. They're not listening to these things. It's just become a distraction. And when people come around, they say falsehoods. And when people attack yourselves or your pastor, you know what they're doing? The devil's trying to distract you from serving God. The devil's trying to get your focus off of serving, off of working, off of praying, off of fasting, off of learning, and trying to get your focus over here to something else and say, well, did you hear the preacher did this, or the preacher said this, or the preacher this, or did you hear so-and-so, they went and did this, and so did. We got to stop the lies. We got to stop building up on these lies and believing these lies. Let's follow the scriptures. If there's an issue or there's a problem, what are we supposed to do? Go to that person individually. And talk to that person individually. Follow the things the Bible way, and let's keep out of being distracted. Because when we start talking about everybody else, you know who we stop talking about? The one who's most important, that's Jesus. When we start talking about so-and-so and start gossiping about so-and-so and start running our mouths about so-and-so, you know what happens? Our focus gets off of God. We want the next dirt. Once again, it's easy to do. It's something that we desire. It's our flesh wants us. The devil wants it. Because when we stop focusing on him, you know what's going to happen? We're going to start focusing on something else. When we have godly priorities, many times people are going to question us. Many times the attacks are going to come. Many times people are going to say things that are wrong, and you have to have this established in your heart and your mind. This is what God wants me to do. I know God wants me to do this. God has given this to me, just like Nehemiah saying, I'm doing a great work. Why in the world should I stop to humor you? I'm doing a work here. I'm going to continue on doing this work, and I'm going to have the right priority, and that priority is I'm going to listen to God. And guess what? Not everybody else is going to understand. Sanballat didn't understand, but the Tobias didn't understand. Sometimes our families aren't going to understand. Sometimes our loved ones are going to question our motives. They're going to say, oh, you don't care about loving the Lord or going to church for the right reasons. You just want to make that preacher happier. You're just doing it so people will notice you. They're going to question your motives. They're going to question your methods. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get you to stop. They're trying to distract you. And just like Nehemiah, he had the right priority. He knew he got it from God. He knew he was serving the Lord. And he says, I'm not going to stop. I'm not coming off this wall. Second thing I want you to see is, not only is it the plan of the enemy, but I want you to see the priority of Nehemiah. The priority of Nehemiah. And once again, all the points kind of work together. He says, I cannot come down. I am doing great work. He knew it was God's will. Remember, this is not Nehemiah's idea. Nehemiah did not sign up for asking God this. If you go through and you read through Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter number 2, he was burdened. God gave him that burden. He didn't say, God, please send me. No, he prayed. He fasted. He made himself available. And this is what we should do. We should pray. We should fast. We should seek God. We should make ourselves available to whatever God wants us to do. And as God made us available, you know what we should do? Is remember that this is what God wants us to do and continue on. Remember, once we make a decision, Satan will try to attack us. Satan will try to tell you, hey, you're doing it to please yourself. You're doing it to please your wife. You're doing it to please your friends. You're doing it that to please your pastor. And Nehemiah says, no, I'm doing it for the glory of God. James chapter 1 verses 5 through 8, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That last verse is where I want you to think about. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, Nehemiah was not double-minded. He was not going to give in to the criticism. He wasn't going to give in to the discouragement. He wasn't going to give in to the division. He had a focus. He had a mind. And he says, I'm going to do this work for God. We learned last week, it wasn't mean ignoring people's problems. It wasn't mean treating people wrong. Nehemiah had told him, look, we had to stop this work in order to fix these problems. This sin that happened, we dealt with it. Now let's get back to work. Christian, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you say, what are you talking about being double-minded? It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy when God speaks to our heart and says, I want you to move forward. I want you to build. I want you to grow. I want you to do this and this and this. And we make it a purpose in our heart. And we pray maybe at an altar and say, God, I'm making this commitment to you. And then we get up and we walk away and tomorrow the commitment's not there. And then God speaks to our heart again and we go back to it. And then we go back and forth. You know what that says? We're unstable. We're not going to accomplish what God wants us to do by being double-minded. Christ should be our number one priority. First with salvation and then his relationship. After that, I believe it talks about our family and then talks about our ministry and talks about our work and talks about our hobbies and things like that. We should establish some priorities for our lives and not forsake them. We should be as Nehemiah and says, I cannot come down. I'm not willing to come down. I'm not willing to stop to just please you. Why should the work cease? What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to get us away so the work will cease. The third thing is, I showed you the plan of the enemy, the priority of Nehemiah. But I want you to see the prayer of Nehemiah. Look at verse number 9. And you kind of get the sense here. Nehemiah has been working really hard. Not just Nehemiah, there's been a whole group. It's not just about the leader. This was a whole group effort. We learned in chapter, I believe it was number 4, they were sleeping in their clothes, girded with a sword. They were working from sun up to sun down. They would see the stars, and many would still be watching there. They were working very, very hard. They were tired. They had been attacked so many different ways and so many different times. They had become weak and they had become frustrated. And it says here in verse number 9, for they all made us afraid that this seems like it's affecting the workers, just like it affected some in Nehemiah 4, just like it affected some in Nehemiah chapter number 5. And it says, and this is what they were saying, their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. So Nehemiah just says a short, simple prayer. Oh God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. Church, this is where we need to be. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we get upset. Sometimes we get disappointed. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. Sometimes we cannot see the end and we don't know if we're going to have strength and we don't know if we're going to keep on being able to go. We don't know if we're going to keep on serving. We don't know if we can stay up on that wall. We're getting tired and we're getting discouraged. Nehemiah here just cries out and says, Lord, strengthen my hand. Now, we talk about in chapter number 2, I believe it was, talking about how we can strengthen our own hands, how we can set aside certain things so we can be strengthening our hands and encouraging in our work and making the wall building an easier process. But here, and that's not what Nehemiah is talking about. He's not telling the people, look, strengthen your hands. Set aside these things that are causing you to labor less. Set aside the distractions. He's saying to God, Lord, I've been doing this. I've been working hard. You've got us all this way. God, please strengthen my hand. I'm tired. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. God, I'm serving you. I'm doing what you've called me to do. Lord, oh God. And you know, when a man's praying and he starts off, oh God, he's being very sincere. Strengthen my hands. There's a great need. And I love this because you see, every time there was a problem in the life of Nehemiah, what does he do? He turns right to God. He goes right to his knees. He's not distracted by it. He says, Lord, this is what's coming up. The people are getting weary. The people are getting tired. The people are this. The people are that. Lord, strengthen my hands. One of his greatest priorities of his life was prayer. It always drove him back to his knees. Your desire to have time with God and your family should be a great priority in your life. Sometimes our priorities get out of whack. Sometimes we don't have the right priorities, and maybe God is speaking to your hearts about, you know what, God should have a priority in life. I should give God my best, my first. I should be in the morning time, and I should be giving Him all of me and wanting to please Him first, and the other things should get the rest of me. But sometimes we just get tired. And well-doing. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. And that's my encouragement. That's what Nehemiah is sitting here. He's saying, Lord, you strengthen my hands. So we see the plan of the enemy. He wants to discourage us. He wants to divide us. But tonight we see how he wants to distract us. We see the priority in Nehemiah. He wasn't coming off that wall. And in your Christian lives, what is your priority? Is God giving you something to do? Then don't give it up. The third thing, you see the prayer in Nehemiah. Now, I know some of you are there. Someone texted my wife last night and said, they had a long week and they were a little bit overwhelmed and they're looking for a powerful message today. I see that in our church family. There's people who get tired and overwhelmed and this and that. I get that. Our prayer is back to God. God, strengthen my hand. Give me enough strength to make it to the next day. Give me enough strength to just keep on working. Help me to stay focused. Help me to have that right priority. I want to remind you of one thing again. Remember, what you're doing is a great work. I know sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes our Sunday school class might only have one child in it. Sometimes it might only have three or four. Sometimes it doesn't seem like what I'm doing makes much difference. It doesn't seem like when I vacuum the carpet or clean the toilet or when I paint a wall or when I do all these other things, it might not seem that important. But if God's placed something in your heart and God's given you a gift to do something and he wants you to do it with all your heart, with all your might, as ministering unto the Lord like those in Antioch did. That it is important that we do it for the right reasons. It's important we do it because we want to serve him. It's important to realize this is a great work that God has given us to do. It's a great work. Why? Because God has given you to do it. Knowing God's will is great. Doing God's will is a challenge. Seek God. A couple of little things I want you to think about here. There was a missionary in China whose abilities were so outstanding that one of the American companies tried to hire him. They offered him an attractive job with a salary to match, but he turned it down. He told them that God had sent him to China as a missionary. He thought that would end the matter, but instead they came back with a better offer and an increase in salary. He turned that down too. But again, they came back a third time, this time doubling the financial package. Finally, he said to them, it's not that your salary is too little, it's that your job is too small. You think about it, it's not the fact that the world doesn't have things to offer. It's just not that valuable. God should have a priority in your life. A little boy was watching three guys build a church. They were laying bricks at the same job site. A little boy come up to the first man and says, what you doing? And the man says, laying bricks. He asked the second guy. The second guy says, I'm building a building. The third guy said, I am building a church where people can come to worship the living God and glorify God. Now, which guy do you think will be most excited about what he's doing? Who will be motivated to finish? How do we see our ministry and what you're involved in? Do we see it that I'm only teaching one child or two children or three children? Or do we see how we can shape the next generation? And when we sing, do we see that, this is not a song I really like or really care? Or do we see that we're singing praises to God and worshiping God and with all our heart and with all our might, just singing unto the Lord? And, how do we view these things? Are we just building some bricks? Are we building a church? Listen, if it is God's work, it is a great work. Don't ever think it's not very important. Don't ever think that there is no value in what God has placed you. And I tell you, there are so many thoughts that you can have towards this. If you're a wife, what a great ministry you have there to your husband and to your family if you have children. If you're a husband, what a great ministry you have at home to your wife and to your family. If you're a child, what a great ministry you have at this point in time in your life when you don't have a lot of other distractions where you can minister to your parents. And honoring them and obeying them and praying for them. What a wonderful ministry we have in our homes. What wonderful ministries we have in our church. Sometimes people get tired. Sometimes people want to quit. Sometimes people don't think they're that important. We need to be like Nehemiah and say, I'm not going to let things distract me. God has called me here. God has led me here. God has done this in my heart. And I'm not coming off this wall. Why should the work cease whilst I meet with you? Why should the work cease just because I had the wrong priorities? It shouldn't. And we see here in this story, in a few weeks, we're going to look at maybe the rest of the chapter. It's kind of sad that one of his own men is bought off by one of the other guys, and they try to get him to come to the temple. And we might look at that in a few weeks in Nehemiah chapter 6. Somebody else tried to distract him with something else. You know, sometimes the devil is not going to get you to change. You come to a church like ours, you're faithful to a church like ours, he's probably not going to get you to go get drunk, go get high, you know, have immorality. All those things definitely can happen because of our flesh. We need to guard against those, fight against those. But you know what? After he's tried those things, he's going to try to say, hey, look, wouldn't you rather do this? Wouldn't you rather watch a Steeler game on Sunday night than come to church? Of course, everybody would know if it was any football team we were in, let's stop going to church, where it'd be the Steelers, right? No? Okay. But here's the thing, is where's the priorities at? Our family, they're important. But God did a work in my heart. God told me to be faithful. God's given me this. I'm not going to get distracted. Now, I know God wants me to do this. I'm not going to let the devil distract me. Oh, you got this great opportunity. Well, where's that opportunity coming from? Coming from God? Or is the devil trying to distract you away? And I'm not saying that you can't. There's never a time to work around things, and the Lord allows things to happen in your life. If it comes from God, go all for it. But at the same time, don't get distracted. Nehemiah is building this wall for God's glory, and he's building with right priorities. My prayer for you this year is that we travel on, in a sense, like our theme song talks about this year, that we're going to continue on growing, and to continue on at the end of this year, be a stronger Christian than we were at the beginning of this year. How are we going to do that? By having right priorities. Tonight, do we have the right priorities while we're building? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.